This is Rating Descending,
where we watch IMDb's worst 250 movies so you do not have to.
I'm Michelle St. Clair.
I'm Abigail Ward.
And this week we watched The Hungover Games, a spoof on The Hangover 2009, The Hunger Games 2012, and other movies, TV series, etc. Four men with hangovers after a bachelor party find themselves in a future dystopian kill or be killed game. Let's watch. Got it.
Oh, fuck. I was like yawning and about to sneeze at the same time.
Oh, I thought you were, I was going to say like snitting or something.
Snitting?
Who knows? Just sneezing and
knitting.
Shitting. Sneezing and knitting, I like. That's a classic. Achoo! And then you have a sweater.
I know it's been the height of summer, but have you worn the beanie I made you yet?
No, it's been the height of summer. I can't imagine a hotter stretch of this particular summer in Melbourne. Then since we last recorded and you gave me the beanie.
You do something nice for the people you love and it was a nice thing spit in your face.
I look at it because it's right next to where I walk into my room.
Oh,
I look at it.
It's right there.
Yeah, I look at it every day and I go, oh, Abby made
me
that.
Wow, look at the pom-pom on that.
I know. I keep worrying it's going to come off, but I worry that with every pom-pom on a beanie.
Okay. Does it feel secure? Because I can secure it more.
It does not feel secure.
Really?
Well, we'll look at it. We'll look at it.
Oh, I like sewed that shit in.
Oh, maybe it is secure. I don't know.
I think it is, but look, anyway.
Actually, I think it is, yeah.
I think I did fine. If it comes off, that's your fault.
Hey, I had two things I wanted to bring up
for
this opening, right?
Sure.
One was one thing that I did this morning, right before watching today's movie that we're not about to talk about. But before I did that, I ordered from Umbrella Entertainment, which is Australian-based distributor of, you know, physical media, movies and such. I bought two things. One was a DVD of T-Blockers, Alice McKay's trans movie from last year that I went to go see.
Mayo?
Alice Mayo McKee. Alice Mayo McKee.
Mm-hmm.
I got confused.
McMayo is the newest McDonald's release, yeah. Right?
Not
it's
McMayo,
just a bun and mayo.
Alice Mayo McKee.
It's a bun, mayo, and a bit of lettuce.
Yeah. I got recommended the movie by honored friend of the podcast, Shane Anderson. Mm. I went to go see it during its festival run. It was fucking great, fun little trans hangout slasher movie.
Mm.
Order that on DVD. But more importantly, in this context, is I also bought... They had just done a 4K restoration of Super Mario Bros., specifically including the work print cut, so a different cut of it. My pitch, when it comes out and it arrives in my house, we should watch it and then do a bonus episode reappraising it again.
Let's do it.
Yes.
Let's do it. And we can invite everyone over. I think Claude needs to see it as well.
Claude's got to see it.
Yeah, he hasn't seen it.
There's
what's he doing?
I can't believe we've gotten this far and Claude hasn't seen Super Mario Bros.
Well, I want to spare Claude from having to watch everything on this list, so I tend to try and keep him separate from everything.
I think that's wise.
I tend to watch the movies on my laptop, so it doesn't even have to be playing in the living room.
Good. I remember one time watching, I think it was, like, I've watched a handful of them on my laptop, like, in bed. Mm. I remember in particular watching Tube Light.
Yeah.
And...
What a watch.
No one was happy at that bed.
No.
No one was happy at that bed.
Yeah, the only thing I've made Claude watch was Talk.
Oh,
and we
loved it. Great.
It was great. And just like, we still quote like, let's ride. And then Nickelback Someday starts playing.
I think all the time about the Pepsi and Mountain Dew motorbike duel.
The Mountain Jewel.
Mountain Jewel. What was it? The Pepsi was the American good guy and Mountain Dew was the bad guy?
Yeah.
That was great. That was so good.
Like, it was the female characters, right?
Yeah. That was the girl fight.
There's always a girl fight.
Yeah, there's always one girl on each team and they fight and it's so fucking hot.
And then they land in mud and it's so big and hot.
Oh my God, that's nut. Oh, that's me.
That's
sorry. That's right. That was the episode where I said nutting in my leathers. I'm nutting in my leathers.
There's a lot of dumb shit we've said in this podcast, okay? Like, it's just...
We can't possibly expect to remember it all.
No, exactly. It's just rubbish that comes out of our mouths.
As we proved on the trivia episode, anything but... Human Centipede too.
Anything but... Yeah. I love when people approach me and they're like, they mention something I've said in the podcast and I'm like, I said what? That's nuts.
Sometimes I feel like people send me messages that are like responding to it rather than telling me the thing I said. They're responding to it. And I'm like, you have to tell me what you're talking
about.
Please.
There's hundreds of episodes literally out.
Literally. I talk so much.
Yeah.
I can't remember all of it.
Yeah. We say some. And if you try and talk about jarting or shitting or whatever, that's pretty much every episode.
Yeah.
Jarting and jerping.
You know, when you're talking about jerping, which time?
Yeah.
All right. I jerp a lot.
And we talk about it all the time.
Who wouldn't? If you jerp as much as I do, you wouldn't stop talking about
jerp,
it either.
I jerp. He jerps. And then burp screaming. We all burp scream, man. It's the newest addition. I want the listeners to know that when Michelle does that, she really braces herself. She pulls herself back. And when she does it, she's got her fists clenched like she's flexing but towards her stomach. It's such a look.
Thanks. It's really quite muscular, quite masculine.
It looks excruciating as well. So
it doesn't feel great. Every time I do it, usually people tell me that it looks painful. And it's not that it's painful, but it's uncomfortable.
Listen, I wasn't going to the gym for a while because my period kind of fucked my whole life up. Like I was trying to skip my period. And then it meant that my period was just like always happening. And then I tried to not skip my period and it just kept happening. And then I would spot for a long time. Finally, I feel like it's back on track. It took 9 months to even it out.
Oh.
And so now I feel like I have more energy. I'm not fucking bleeding all the time. And so I've gone back to the gym because I feel more safe to go back to the gym. I was just like, I'm bleeding and I'm in pain all the time. And the last thing I would want to do is like go sit in a fucking gym in leggings.
Totally.
And so, but now I've gone back to the gym. And because it's been a while, when I first went back, I pretty much crippled myself because I just did what I did last time. And I was like, feels good. And then the next day I woke up and I was like, oh my God. Like I could barely get out of bed. Yeah. Yeah. My arms and my legs were on fire.
Yeah. Them dumbs, baby.
I got no muscles.
Dum-dums.
Dum-dums.
Dum-dum-dums.
What are you saying?
Dumbs. What is it? Delayed onset muscle soreness.
Oh, I thought you were just talking shit.
No. Dumb. D-O-M-S. It's right. Yeah,
that's delayed.
I think it's delayed onset muscle soreness. I'm pretty sure the MS is muscle soreness.
It's always the next day.
That's the thing. That's what it is. That's the, like, not the soreness at the time, but the soreness later.
You feel great at the time. You're like, adrenaline, rush, ooh. And
endorphins.
Then the next day you wake up and you're like, I feel fucking horrible. It got to a point where I'm just sitting down to fucking take a piss. I was like, so I'm not doing it again, ever. That's the end of my workout journey.
Speaking of the end of your workout journey, this week we watched The Hungover Games.
Nonsensical.
Well, I mean, in many ways, it was a thing that prevented me from moving. But I will also say motivated me to move as far away from it as possible.
That's true.
What did you think? What's your opening stance? What's your opening volley?
Okay, here's my opening. This is my opening story, if you will.
Oh,
because
when
I got to your place, what, just half an hour ago? Uh-huh. I had just come off the back of watching this film, even though we watched it tonight. But I just watched it and I walked in and you were like, hey, and I think you could tell something was off about me. And the first thing I said was, I was like, I wanted to fucking kill myself. That was fucking terrible. I'm in a dark place.
I thought you were genuinely so upset.
You thought something was like genuinely wrong in my life.
Yeah.
Just the movie. That's how bad I found that experience. Like I came here like in a really bad mood. Not bad, but like not angry. Just kind of like exasperated.
Yeah.
I'm tired. Why do we do this?
I've never, it's rare that I'm this little motivated to continue doing the podcast.
It's harder to do this in summer. Again, yeah. I've said this before. I'm looking out your beautiful bedroom window, Michelle.
Thank you.
Blue skies, cute houses in a random suburb in the north of Melbourne. It's a stunning day, Saturday afternoon. And here we are.
Here we are doing this. I would rather be doing it. Like, there was a moment after I finished watching this, I grabbed my guitar to just play a little. And then I immediately thought, I really don't like where my life is at the moment.
Oh, Michelle.
No. It was just the post-hungover games.
Right.
You know,
right.
Glow.
Yeah.
I feel much better, like, a few hours on.
Yeah, okay, good,
but
good.
You're not happy with your life when you finish this movie.
No. It made me question a lot of choices in my life. It also made me just feel really sad for everyone involved with the film. I think it was the kind of film you watch
except Jamie Kennedy.
Yeah, but even then, you're like, except Jamie Kennedy, but you can tell that maybe now 10 years on, he's like, that was a low point.
He co-wrote and co-produced this.
Yeah,
There's no way I feel any sympathy for Jamie Kennedy in this.
I I just feel like it's the kind of film that, again, like, you watch it and you're just like, I know that this was the low of every single person involved's career.
Absolutely.
Like, this is something that they look back on with just shame and sadness.
Yeah.
And that's what I felt watching it, was shame and sadness on their behalf.
Absolutely.
So it threw me into a pretty dark place, Michelle.
There was a point I was watching it. I was maybe like 20 minutes in or something. Mm. And then my housemate walked in having like gotten up and going about their day. She hadn't even looked at the screen. She hadn't acknowledged that I was watching a movie. And I couldn't, out of my mouth fast enough, yell, please don't judge me for watching this. It's for the podcast. I really don't want to watch this. And then she would have heard a while later, I thought I was reaching the movie's climax. And then I go to just check the time because I'm about to go to the bathroom. And I see that there is 45 minutes left. And from her perspective, she would have just heard a really loud, oh, fuck.
It's a tough day.
Yeah.
Tough episode, tough day. But hey, peaks and valleys, swings and roundabouts. Some days you get the room, and then other days you get the hungover games.
I can't remember if I've mentioned this on the podcast, but back in November I was cut off my medication because of a shortage.
Vyvanse,
50 Vyvanse milligrams. Shortage,
yep.
Which should amend next month.
If you too have been affected by the Vyvanse shortage, please email us at ratingdescending@gmail.com so you can commiserate with Michelle.
We can't do anything, but I'll send you back an email that says, aww, sorry, dot, dot, dot,
and then
smiley
like the
face.
Shrugging guy that's made out of the guy. Slashes and brackets. Yeah.
Yeah, I'll send you one of those.
Yeah. It'll make you feel better.
Since then, work productivity has been quite hard.
Mm.
This has been a week where I've managed to overcome that adversity, get a solid amount of work done, even extra work on top of that.
Nice. Has your sleep improved? Is that why?
I mean, partly.
Your sleep's getting better.
My sleep has been better.
Yeah.
I mean, hey, I have a lot of sleep trouble in general, so my sleep has a pretty low ceiling
on
how good it can get.
How many hours do you get a night?
I actually get a good amount of hours. Yeah. I usually get 5 to 7.
That's still below what a lot of people get.
Yeah, but
like, five's not great.
Five's not great.
Five is what I get, and I used to do that all the time, and then I was like, maybe this is contributing to my bad mood and low energy.
Yeah.
And it probably
was. Usually more, it's more close to 7. This is let's do the key details.
No, let's get to the bottom of this.
I just had a moment where I was like, what are we doing?
you want us to talk about this?
We have to talk about some of the information about
this. Don't make me do it, Michelle. Tell me more about your sleep habits. How's your sleep hygiene?
Listeners, I saw such genuine fear. No, I'm still seeing such genuine fear in Abby's eyes.
It's bringing me back to a dark place. I felt really happy coming here and talking to you about other things. And now that we're getting into it, I just don't know if I'm ready. I just don't know if I can actually handle it.
More time.
Like this, I'm in a crisis. All right. Like I'm in a bind. And I've got my back to the wall.
Do you know how many more fucking parody movies we have to do? We're 84 movies left. 83 after this episode, you know?
Oh, it's just so tough.
Yeah.
Is Meet the Spartans on the list?
No, we talked about this last time. Okay. The only parody movie you remember is one that's not on the list.
Yay. Because that was horrific as well.
I know, but I do. But that also means that, you know, that all of the ones that are worse.
Yeah. So tell me more about sleeping and stuff. So what happened? So
the Hungover Games
Before we get into it. So you were saying that you were working more and you had a really productive week, and we're talking about the Vyvanse.
It's directed by Josh Stolberg.
So why don't we just go back to that and we'll talk about mental health and we'll talk about like ways to improve your sleep
Begley.
Hygiene.
As far as I could tell, no relation to Ed Begley
don't
Jr.
Make me do it, Michelle.
Russ Nathan.
Fuck, you're cruel.
Herbert Russell. They played the main three. Couldn't find almost anything about them.
Yeah, I've never seen them before in my life.
No, I did look up Ben Begley to check if he was the son of Ed Begley Jr. He's not.
Oh.
He isn't. But he was in a bunch of writers' rooms and stuff, which makes me feel so much worse. Rita Volk, she's the one who played Catnip. She was kind of interesting. She's Uzbekistani, moved with her family to America when they were like 5.
Nice.
She did like modeling and acting when she was in high school, and then she was in university doing like pre-med, so she was on pathway to be a doctor.
Smart and beautiful.
And then she dropped out to do acting, and this was her debut feature.
Did she continue acting?
She's in 3 other movies over the last 10 years.
Did this movie like break her spirits when they kept asking her to take her top off and she clearly kept being like, can I not? Do I have to? Can we find workarounds where you do a shot of my tits, but it's clearly someone else's tits because I don't feel comfortable? Did it break her spirit, Michelle? Like it broke mine.
It's also starring Jamie Kennedy. Also meaning...
Fuck Jamie Kennedy,
returning
man.
Actor. Fuck Jamie Kennedy.
I actually,
Kennedy.
Like, I'm so resentful towards him for potentially bringing this into life, bringing this into career.
Honestly,
him.
I do think a recurring theme in this last 100 is fuck Jamie Kennedy. I know, really? I know we're seeing him at least one more time.
Really?
What I'm curious is if we're going to see him yet again.
Oh, God. I fucking hate Jamie Kennedy. Villain of this podcast being Jamie Kennedy... If that ends up being the case, what a twist.
Yeah.
We didn't see him coming. At the beginning of the podcast, I kept saying I wanted to brawl with Tom Green, but it was actually Jamie Kennedy
actually
that
Jamie
I should
Kennedy
have been wary of. Wow.
The idea, I hope he snipes it from Stallone. I hope he takes it.
Yeah, Stallone doesn't deserve to be at the... Okay, no, he does.
He
but
does. But
I don't want him to
he's
be.
The hero's champion, you know?
Fuck, man.
But also returning actor, Jonathan Silverman, who played the Seneca Crane stand-in.
Yeah.
What was the character's name? Chinnica Lame.
Yeah, he's like the guy with the
isn't
crazy
that, isn't that funny? Chinnica Lame?
So funny.
Instead of Seneca Crane?
I love
it's
it.
Pretty funny.
So good.
Pretty funny.
So
he
funny.
Was also in Caddyshack too.
Right. Who did he play?
In Caddyshack?
Yeah. Sorry. Michelle, like, I felt disassociated for a second.
You asked me a question and you weren't there.
I wasn't.
You
I
were
was
gone.
Like, looking
he,
away.
He played Harry.
Great.
You asked me.
Oh, is Harry the guy that has a crush on her?
I don't fucking know.
The main
know.
Girl, the girl that we liked, Kate. I think he did. He was like the guy that gets the beer at the beginning or like the
root a caddy
beer.
At Bushwood
yeah,
Country Club.
Yeah, he's the guy that has a crush on the main girl. Anyway,
that,
it doesn't matter.
Wasn't that the main guy who did that?
What? The main guy? The main guy was having sex with the girl.
I guess it was Jonathan Silverman.
Yeah, it was.
Well, that's fun. Okay, that was a fun sequence.
Wow.
The budget for this, I couldn't find.
Okay.
I'm going to try and look it up again live. I found a really dodgy website that suggests that it's $78 million.
I don't think so.
It isn't. It absolutely isn't.
I reckon it is.
Another website is saying $55 million. Oh, no. I think that's the budget for Semi-Pro. For some reason, when I look it up, there's a comparison between Hungover Games and Semi-Pro. You know, the... isn't that the John C. Reilly, Will Ferrell basketball movie?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. You kept shaking your head at me, but you knew the fucking
answer. No, not saying that you were wrong. I just didn't know.
I love that this website, for some reason, it gave me a direct comparison. I didn't ask for a comparison with Semi-Pro. That was the first one that came up. There's no information about the Hungover Games with which to compare it to Semi-Pro.
Guess we'll have to move on.
But the box office was $332,000, $977 entirely from video sales.
What? Mm-hmm. What do you mean? Like, did it not come out in cinemas?
I don't think so.
Was it direct to movie? Direct to DVD?
I mean, yeah, I think like video on demand kind of thing.
Holy shit.
Yeah, Amazon video on demand.
Oh my God, why did this get
why
made?
Why is this getting compared to Semi-Pro? Yeah, the estimated domestic DVD sales was $243,967 and the domestic Blu-ray sales, $108,696.
Why was it made? Like, what was the
Jamie
purpose?
Kennedy. The worst Kennedy.
The Kennedy that should have been assassinated.
They say that the Kennedys have been assassinated, but there's one left. I know there's more than one left. There's like one who's not quite running for president anymore. He's weird. He's a weird guy.
Oh, which one is that?
Oh,
is that another Ted Kennedy?
No, he's the one, because there was the one who was like, I think, Ted Kennedy's son. It was John Kennedy III, who was like a rising star and... Democrat circles for a while, and then he lost an election because he's a fucking liberal goon. But no, this is a different Kennedy who I can't remember which Kennedy, but he's an older guy who's like anti-vax but considers himself a Democrat.
Yeah.
And they were like, he's going to present a real challenge, but he's a fucking dork, so no, he didn't. But he played into QAnon, because part of the thing was he was going to be there at the rebirth of JFK.
Holy shit.
Don't.
I wish we had. Can we talk about that instead?
No, because I don't know enough. I don't remember enough.
Remember Jeb Bush?
What
happened to him? Jeb Bush.
Yeah, you never got Jeb fever?
Oh, not for me personally. No, I didn't.
I mean, me neither, but you know. And neither did America, ultimately.
Jebediah.
Jeb. Anyway, here's the overview.
Yeah. I'll just mentally detach for a second.
Yeah, I'm gonna watch you leave your buddy for a moment. Four friends throw a bachelor party for their friend Doug before his wedding in Nevada. When they wake up, they realize they have moved through time and or dimension, unclear and kept changing, and awake on a train headed for the Hungover Games without Doug, having drunkenly volunteered the previous night. When they arrive, they meet the tributes from the other districts who all ostensibly represent different Hollywood factions, such as horror, Johnny Depp characters, gay Thor, and puppets. The next day, the games begin and one of the friends, Zach, becomes separated from the other two, Bradley and Ed. Ed and Bradley sleep in a tree as the other tributes kill each other before dropping mutant wasp Swagger Jacks onto an alliance of the strongest and Zach. Abby, you can't leave me to do this alone. After being nursed back to health by Zach, they discover that Zach used a midnight berry air freshener in their room back in Nevada, which has a side effect of sending people to futuristic dystopias. I'm going to make this take longer if you don't engage with me. this could be our longest episode.
Okay, all right.
If you're going to play ball, baby.
Let's do trivia. Let's go.
I'm not even done with the overview. Despite being mad at Zach, they make up and also meet up with Catnip Everline. Pretty funny.
So funny.
Pretty funny.
So good.
A 17-year-old whom Ed continuously flirts with. As the other tributes, including...
And shows her tits at the end.
They keep making jokes. At the beginning, she says she's 17 and he's not into it. And then the next time she says she's 17, he is into it and is trying to ignore it.
Yeah. And then at the end, he's like, she was my soulmate. It doesn't matter that it could be statutory rape.
Yeah. I think she said you can't statutory rape your soulmate.
Yeah. And that's also after he considers having sex with her dead body. Let's keep going.
Yeah. As the other tributes, including Catnip, get killed off, they realize where Doug is and find him, which is just right at the beginning, sort of. They refuse to kill each other and instead consume midnight berries, believing they will be prevented from doing so. However, instead of killing them, the berries return them to Nevada, allowing them to rapidly drive to Doug's wedding in time. Also, the wedding is gay, and that's really funny.
Yeah.
It's really
punchline it's city really funny. Over here.
He is gay.
And that's so funny.
And let me tell you, his husband is as a real homo.
Super camp. You know his husband?
My son the homo.
My son the homo. Jimmy and his pimp Billy, whatever. You know, the guy that plays... Tracy, which is also a very effeminate name for his gay husband.
Oh my god.
Tracy, like that's Sam Pancake. And Sam Pancake is it's a great name. And it's his real name. He literally what? His sister is called like Sue Pancake.
Cool.
Yeah, it's his real
name. Did they invent pancakes?
Don't think so. But Sam Pancake is in everything. Sam Pancake is in Curb Your Enthusiasm, is in Arrested Development.
Yeah, I totally recognize him.
Sam Pancake is also a really good friend of Karen Kilgariff from My Favorite Murder. She talks about Sam Pancake all the time.
Well, that's really fun.
Apparently, he's a lovely guy.
Aw, I believe that.
Yeah.
Oh, and he is gay in real life. He's in Arrested Development.
Yeah, I just said that.
I know, but he's the gay assistant slash gay soldier that tries to sue.
Yeah. It's so funny. He's so funny.
It's very funny that I said my son the homo because his line of like, it'll be a long time before he calls someone private homo again. That's etched into my brain.
Well, he also has a podcast, Sam Pancake, which now want to listen to. And it's about made for TV movies from the 70s.
Oh, fuck yes.
Yeah, I really want to listen to it. Yeah. I think it's called like Movie Night Monday or something. Monday Movie Night. I can't remember.
Hey, everyone who's listening to this, go look up Sam Pancake and listen to his podcast. Yeah,
it sounds fantastic.
All that you're gonna get out of the rest of this episode is pain, is our pain. And if you like that, if I see that this episode has the same amount of downloads as the rest of them,
we'll be disappointed.
I'll know exactly what it is that the audience likes.
Yeah.
So tell your friends.
Yeah.
Tell your friends. Don't finish this episode.
Don't even come here.
Don't come.
Click on this episode, man.
What was the Twilight joke, the edging joke that we made of like, I don't want you to come.
Yeah, that's right. Don't come. I don't want you to come. That's right. First thing I want to say about this film.
Yeah. It just begins, by the way. There's no production logos whatsoever.
Yeah. When you're making a parody of something.
Uh-huh. As I do.
Usually doesn't work very well when you parody a comedy. It just doesn't work very well.
Mm-hmm. This has been my whole thing about Scary Movie. Scream is already quite funny.
Yeah, and you make a point. But like Scream at least has enough dramatic elements that made it really unique as a horror film.
Yeah.
But that it is a satire. But then like the fact that like they took the Hangover,
yeah,
and turn it into a satire. The Hangover by itself is a really funny film.
Yeah.
Zach Galifianakis basically made his career in that film.
Yeah.
It was quoted for years. Guys would go to Halloween parties dressed up as that crew because they were all so distinct and visual.
Yeah.
And so this film
convinced us that he could lead movies for a few years because he was in there, and he can't.
I rewatched The Hangover in like 2020 because I was like writing a film about like people on a quest over one night, and I was like, great film to watch to like get me into the mood for it because it's a fantastic, you know, one night quest kind of thing, or one day quest kind of thing. And I had a great time rewatching it. It was funny. It hit the right comedic beats, and it was really distinct. And I watched it, and I thought, I completely understand why this like grabbed everyone in 2008, totally, or whatever the fuck it came out. So to parody it, the only funny bits of the film was just the groundwork that The Hangover had already laid.
Totally.
Like all of the funny like quotes that the Zach Galifianakis character said, that's what he would have said in the real Hangover, which means that it's not funny because you're not like, oh my god, imagine this serious character. It's like, imagine we take Schindler's List and we make it a satire. That would be strange because you'd be like, wow, now fucking like Oscar Schindler is really funny.
Sure. I think that I would maybe have some qualms with that movie. But yeah, I get your overarching
you wouldn't
point.
Go see
it's an interesting pick for you to Schindler's, go to
Swindler's Fist.
You know, whilst it is commendable that your go-to dramatic movie was Schindler's List, mm-hmm, I also think it might... It's not the movie that I would parody.
Michelle, we're talking in hypotheticals.
Sure. Right? Well, I guess it's a movie that discusses your people more than mine.
My people? Whoa.
I don't take back what I said.
That's fucked. My people?
Uh-huh.
We're all people?
Uh-huh.
Like animals?
Yeah.
Trying to hurt us?
No.
Wow. You think us Jews are all into tribalism, huh?
That's not...
That's fucked up. In this climate?
You did it.
Really?
You managed to do it. You did it. You pulled it off. You found a way to turn it around.
Can I just tell you a quick story, though? I think this is the funniest thing ever.
I don't think I can stop you.
I have to omit names because these people exist and my husband knows them. But Claude was at work, mm-hmm, and they had this like afternoon quiz. And one of the girls, they had to like, it was almost like a guess who this is thing, you know, celebrity, who is it?
Yeah.
Celebrity heads. And it was Donald Trump.
Celebrity, who is it?
Celebrity, who is it?
Guess this.
Don't let me ever make a game myself. And the answer was Donald Trump.
Okay.
And she was trying to explain, like, you know, trying to set it up. And she just kind of stopped and she went, they're basically like one of the most hated people in the world.
Don't.
And Claude's office is predominantly Jewish people, and they all kind of sat in silence and they were looking at each other because the girl who asked the question was Palestinian. And she just happened to be Palestinian. Everyone just sat in silence.
There's no way that's a twist I expected coming.
And everyone was like, what do you mean? And she was like, you know, and then she clarified and she was like, people do not like them. And they were like, them? And she was like, him. And they were like, oh, thank God. It was like, he was like, the air was pregnant in that room. They're basically one of the most hated people in the world.
Fuck. Okay. So in this movie.
That's how it felt just then for me. It was my lived experience with you.
I'm so glad, because at the end of that story, everyone was fine. Everyone was okay.
Michelle, I've got a quarter Jew in me, and I'm going to milk it.
Half? You're half Jewish.
I actually am half Jewish. Yeah, I keep forgetting.
that's part of the arc.
I got a half Jew in me,
just,
and I'm
you've been calling yourself quarter Jewish for so long that you're half Jewish.
Yeah. The quarter Jew thing is hard to drop when you've done it for so many years.
Yeah.
Where are we?
We're at the beginning of the movie.
Oh.
Really just begins.
Boring.
One of the things this movie establishes quite early on is that it clearly hates the Hunger Games because it's for teen girls.
Yeah.
Because the Zach Galifianakis stand-in is reading it, and then they're like, oh, you know, glad you're having a good time in like fucking middle school, and I don't like it because I have testicles. And I'm like, so that's the stance of this fucking movie?
Which is so funny,
of this movie?
Considering this was a film that was made for adult guys to perv on young girls as well.
Totally.
So.
The opening crawl begins with an explanation of the Hungover Games, and then it's like, Hollywood, in penance for their lack of creativity. I'm like, bold stance
from this fucking movie. Oh my god, did they really think they were punching up? Like, they were like attacking things that deserve to be attacked?
We got them.
Oh man, how can we perfectly express that this thing young women enjoy is futile and stupid?
Well, so they're like, they repeatedly talk about how everything is like sequels and adaptations, and like, apart from the Hunger Games, which again is an adaptation and a franchise that ended, like the Hangover is an original movie. This movie parodies Carrie, which is,
I don't know, man. Know,
like, it parodies Django, which is again it parodies a lot of movies that are quite original.
Yeah, it did.
What is it talking about?
I don't know, man. Is it just parodying any film that had come out in the previous 2 years? Was that what it was aiming for?
I think what happened is that one day Jamie Kennedy dropped, like, his bookcase fell over and a bunch of his DVDs fell out around the place, and he went, these ones.
Yeah.
That's the only conceivable thing I can think of. I think he stuck his hand in one of those, like, bargain bins where it's like two for $2. And then he pulled out a movie, and then he was like, The Lone Ranger, that one.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Stuck his hand in and then brought it out and was like, ah, Ted, yeah, that one.
And like, God, and the cast was shocking. Imagine being the guy that played the Bradley Cooper character and being like, I'm the guy that played the Bradley Cooper character in the Hangover, like, spin, like, satire and parody, and I don't have a Wikipedia page.
Yeah. Do you reckon he looks in the mirror and smiles?
No. I think anyone associated with this is haunted, just like I am.
I think he wishes he could, you know? Really, the one that makes me the most sad is seeing Tara Reid. Tara Reid's, like, 2010s parody movie arc depresses me. If she's happy, it makes me less sad.
I'm sure she's very well off financially. Yeah. She's made a lot of money.
Then that makes me less sad. But, like, it's just, I'm like, you were in movies, man. You're in real movies.
Would have been around the peak Sharknado time as well. I think Sharknado had just come out.
She was in several Sharknados. We watched the first, I think, four of them.
Yeah.
I don't know if she was in 5 or 6.
Okay.
I cannot neither confirm nor deny.
She finally had a limit. Yeah. It's time to walk into the Sharknado.
I think we really have done quite a few Sharknados at this point, boys.
Oh man. And then also they had the real Housewives of Beverly Hills that popped up.
I think it's fun to at least get the real ones.
Yeah, they had the famous one. What's her name? Kyle. Her name's Kyle. She's the brunette housewife.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
I watched the first 2 seasons of The Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, so I'm pretty across it.
There's a lot of reality TV stars because, I mean, also the hosts of the thing, there was Hank Bassett, which was Kendra from the Girls Next Door. It was about three of the more prominent, like the matriarchs of Hugh Hefner's Playboy Bunny Mansion.
Oh.
And one of them, Kendra, she married Hank Bassett, a footballer, and then they got their own spin-off show called Kendra, which ran for 2 seasons, and then got a second spin-off called Kendra on Top. I guess this now the difference was that she was on top.
Right.
And then they filed for divorce after scandalously Hank Bassett cheated on her with... And every news article specifically goes, a transgender model. And I'm like, that doesn't make it more scandalous. Shut the fuck up.
What? Who's the model?
It doesn't say. It never says. Because she's not a person. She's a scandal and a sex object. Anyway, now I'm getting mad about this. I know all of this because my mum really liked, Kardashians and really liked the Girls Next Door and then Kendra because she fucking hated them. She really hated them.
Yeah, I mean, that's
them.
Why I watch all of it. I love just shitting on them. I mean, like, The Real Housewives, you watch that franchise. And some people might watch it because they love the luxury. But I love to watch it because I'm like, these people are so detached from, like, reality and humanity. And The Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, though, really did go off. Mm. And it was mostly for Camille, who was in this film. Camille was the blonde in the purple dress.
Oh, sure.
And she was married to Kelsey Grammer.
Oh, you told me about this.
And he...
Because I was so shocked that he's in the fucking show.
Yeah, so was I. She was like, my name is Camille. I live in Beverly Hills and my husband is Kelsey Grammer. And I was like, excuse me?
Sorry, what?
And it's this tragedy because in season one, she's like, Kelsey's always in New York and, you know, we're trying to get him established there. And then the next season, she has found out between the seasons that Kelsey had a second
family
in New York and they were going through a horrible, bitter divorce.
That baby heard the blues are calling.
Oh, dude. And there was also another housewife in the first season of Beverly Hills that had this really silent, creepy husband. And between season one and two, he hanged himself because it had come out that he was beating her.
Oh my God.
And so in season two, she was grieving a dead abusive husband and was trying to keep it on the down low. But all the other wives were like, are you okay? Like, you know that meme of that woman screaming at the table and the cat on the other side screaming back?
Yeah.
That's from Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. And the woman screaming is the one who lost her husband.
Oh my God.
Yeah. And she's screaming about that situation. So the story behind that meme is really dark. She's screaming about, she's like, you don't know what I went through.
What about the cat?
Well, it just wanted some biscuits. Little bisqueenies.
Little bisqueenies.
For the little kittens.
Before we move on, I got to say, seeing Caitlyn Jenner in this was a real jump scare.
Yep.
And yeah, also,
I couldn't figure out who it was for a bit. I was like, who is that?
I was like, wait a second. I sort of recognized that face. Yeah. And I was like,
The blue lipstick was really getting in the way.
It was. It was the main thing getting in the way. It also feels like, for me, it always feels rude when I see an actor who has transitioned in a movie pre-transition. Like, in a way where I'm like, you're publicly interfacing. But it's like, you know, I know that there are like photos of me pre-transition online around.
Yeah.
It's not like you can't hurt me with them, but I'm like, if you see them, just pretend you didn't. That's rude.
I think it's tough when you are in films where you can't control the distribution.
Like, I'll still watch movies with Elliot Page in them prior to that point. But at the same time, there's a point of confrontation that I think is mostly for trans people where it's like, this feels a little rude.
Yeah, I mean,
I'm not going to overwatch these.
I feel like, luckily, that's a very celebrity-specific problem.
Totally.
That probably only hurts, like, 1% of the trans... No, not even. Like, 0.01% of the trans population, luckily.
Impacts 8 trans people.
Yeah, that's right, exactly. Like... All 9 of them must be furious.
But Jamie Kennedy was in this as 3 different characters.
I know.
It contributes so much. Like, I'm becoming in many ways both furious but also obsessed with how confidently not funny Jamie Kennedy is.
Yeah, because Jamie Kennedy played Willy Wonka, right?
Willy Wonka, which this is not even the only time we're going to see a Johnny Depp Willy Wonka parody on this list.
Oh my God.
He also played, you know, the Project Runway guy parody.
Yeah, Tim Gunn. Yeah.
Make it work. Make it work. And then there's a bit where he says, make it work. And then he turns to whoever he's with and is like, that's my catchphrase. Make it work.
Yeah.
That's not a joke. Yeah. What's the joke?
Yeah.
Jamie Kennedy, what is the joke?
Yeah.
Do a joke. Do one. There was one joke.
Yeah.
Right at the end.
Tell me.
There's,
tell me about it.
I have so many more notes, but you look like you're fading so fast.
It's just everything about this movie is demoralizing to watch, let alone to have to talk about. But go on.
It also, by the way, continuously misunderstands the Hunger Games because it will then go like, don't worry about it. It's just a plot hole. And it does that like 3 different times about Hunger Games plot lines.
And where
like,
does it get off?
You just don't understand it. It's okay. You didn't read it. You didn't watch it. You didn't like it.
Yeah.
That's fine. That doesn't mean it was bad. There was one stone cold joke towards the end where they're giving the speech to Doug because they find Doug, but Doug is mad because he's like, I didn't get any lines, I don't have any personality and all of that. And they're like, no, that's a good thing. You know, without you, there is no jokes. You are who we reflect off of. And then he says, you may be a gay man, but you are the best straight man we've ever met.
Yeah, that was
that's
fun.
That's a stone cold
joke. That was actually good.
That's a good line.
Yeah, I agree.
I want to use that.
Yeah.
You know?
It's like the one original joke they were able to produce.
Oh my God.
Really what they did is that they took all of Zach Galifianakis' best lines from The Hangover and remolded them into other comedy beats for this film.
Yeah.
And then they were like, we did it. It's funny. It's funnier now. Because we basically reshaped a joke that some other talented team of people wrote.
What's this? This is what I mean. The Swagger Jacks are parodying the Tracker Jacks from Hungry Jacks.
From Hungry Jacks. Keep rhyming, Michelle. You're on a roll.
The Swagger Jacks are Tracker Jacks from Hungry Jacks.
And they say white people can't rap.
But like, what is that? Also, it's 2014. You're a little late on Swagger by like 4 years.
Yeah, fully.
Come on. Get with the fucking times, man.
And look, this should go without saying, and I kind of told myself I wouldn't bother to talk about it, but as we're strapped for things to talk about with this film, or for me at least, the fucking A, the underage girl was fucked. And then also, like, usually when we watch bad films and there's just the classic mid-2000s, like, women have, like, every girl has their tits out thing.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm like, whatever. Like, that's bullshit, but it's, like, clear misogyny, so it doesn't need to be talked about. But there was something about this film that just kept rubbing me the wrong way.
Totally.
It wasn't even like, girls have their tits out. They were, like, pornographic actresses that literally were, like, making out all the time and touching each other's tits. Yeah. And I was like, what the fuck is going on?
I think I would have realized I was both a woman and a lesbian sooner if that wasn't the presentation of female sexuality that I had to grow up with in cinema.
Because it's completely from a male perspective. Yeah. This film was made by a bunch of men. And it is clear just objectification of women that have no control whatsoever on the set. And that's why with the girl that played the main character who is underage,
she's 23
at
the time.
Is meant to be underage.
So weird.
And then you've got this weird blurred line of like, well, the actress was overage, but, and it's like, but the character was underage and you kept wanting to see her tits the whole time. And then at the end of She's Dying, she's like, I want to show you my tits. And you're meant to be like, it's so stupid, it's funny. But again, you do it at the cost of women and not men.
Yeah.
That's what you do.
Like, what
when you
the
make
joke?
These jokes, when you use women's bodies to make a joke about how stupid this would be, you're still making the woman the laughing stock.
Yeah.
You're not really laughing at male sexuality. You're all being like, that is what it's like. Women are hot, bro. And I want to see that 17-year-old's tits. I cannot stand it. And I really hoped it wouldn't make me annoyed, but it made me annoyed. And I'm allowed to be. I'm allowed to be angry at this.
I'm laughing because this is such a good speech. You're so passionate and you're right about all of it. It's just I had a moment towards the end where you were... You're having such a great close on that, where I remembered we're talking about the Hungover Games.
This is why I was like, I don't want to put any time into it, but I can't say nothing, you know? This is...
Now, not to this movie's defense, because it's not, but this was the unrated version. So as it was originally released, you know, there'd be slightly less boobies.
I don't care. And this is the kind of shit where men are like, it's harmless. It doesn't mean anything. The joke is that it's stupid. And it's like, why did you choose to include it? Let's really go into it.
Yeah.
Because it wasn't you trying to like debunk or like you basically like throw off the veil of how women are treated in cinema. You're not doing that. You're playing into it and you're profiting off of it.
When guys are like that, I'm like, name the women you're friends with.
Yeah. And just tell me like, and if you say that you actually respect women because you know them, case closed. Case motherfucking closed. But, like, all these men that do claim that they're doing it for comedic purposes, you can tell us whatever bullshit you would like to tell us. It doesn't mean we have to accept it because it's not true. You're lying to us. Okay, rant over.
Now, before I go into the trivia, because, again, that was a great rant, I do want to add in there was the bit where they try and they do the Hunger Games symbol thing, the hand gesture, but instead they do the shaka.
Yeah.
That's the true rating descending all-star. Do you want to hear some trivia?
Yeah.
IMDb trivia. There's barely any trivia, but I did manage to scrape some together because no one cared enough about this movie to write about it.
Imagine if someone had to talk about it for an hour.
I think you'd get pretty mad. When the Hungover Games control room computer system crashes and is subsequently rebooted, the Microsoft Windows 3.1 logo appears on the translucent touchscreens, which I did notice, and I was surprised at how much they didn't talk about it, because normally this is the kind of movie where they come up with half a joke and they go, oh, that's it!
And then they make the characters point at the joke to be like, do you see it?
Look at that, the joke, it's over there. And I'm like, no, you have the premise of a joke. You don't have a joke yet.
Yeah.
You have to do the full joke.
Mm-hmm.
I'm kind of scared to tell you this.
What?
So this is one that I added just on information that I found rather than taken straight from IMDb.
I'm scared.
Just the year before, another Hunger Games parody movie was released
named
The Starving Games.
Is it on the list?
It is number 48 on the list.
Ah! Oh my God, Michelle. Don't tell me that shit, man. I'm like already on the edge. I'm a woman on the edge and you've just pushed me. What the fuck? That's it. It's another Besmois. I refuse. That's my limit. Number 48 is the episode we never come back. I just couldn't do it.
I wish the listeners could see your physical, visceral reaction. Oh. You look like you were genuinely going to get up and leave.
And it's lower.
It's lower. It's like half. It's 48. So it's in 40 episodes.
I'm hoping for your sake and mine, but your sake, that when we get to it, it is somehow better than this film. Somehow, it could be a case of, that's funny, don't you think they should have been swapped?
I know one joke from it that, okay, that people enjoy, you know, in the same way that superhero movie had like one joke in it that we liked. So, you know, that'll be, that one's, you're gay, but you're the best straight man.
Who's doing that one? Do you know?
It's mine. It's an even number, so it's mine. I gotta do both. Does that give you some solace?
A little bit. A little bit.
All right.
Hey, I'm sorry. I'm not trying to shoot the messenger. I appreciate
There's no one else here to shoot. I get it.
So it's fine if I do then.
No.
Okay.
Oh. Okay. You good? You come?
I think so.
You come after that?
Michelle St. Clair, this is your life. This is it.
I know. I've been thinking since I turned 29, I've been thinking a lot about death and the finality of life. That's real.
I'm scared to think what will happen when you turn 30.
I know. I think that's part of why. I think when I turn 30, that's when I'll be done contemplating it. And I'll just be like, I am going to die. And that will just be the end. But then I think about it again whenever we do this list. Because I'm like, these are the precious hours I have in my life.
Yeah. All the good we could have done. I don't even want to think about tallying up how much work or time we've put into this podcast.
So many hours.
For what reward? Truly. Well, for a glimmer of...
Every time when someone sends us something, yeah, or even just when it's like encouragement and that they love it, it is worth it.
Or when a stranger recognizes us.
When a stranger recognizes us in public, great, as has happened multiple times now.
Yeah, it's nice.
Do you want to hear some reviews?
Yeah.
Reviews! Hey, Abby, we're here to brighten people's day. We're sacrificing.
I don't know. Sometimes when I'm feeling shit, it's great to just hear other people be like, I feel shit.
Yeah, that's what I mean. We're providing comfort through our own incredible distress.
Okay, great. Okay, because that was me trying to sing happily there, so I'm glad I don't have to bother to do that.
You're good. You're good, baby. Hey, thanks. If you're out there struggling, no, it could be worse. You could be watching and then researching and then talking about the Hungover Games.
Yeah.
So this is 18% on Rotten Tomatoes. I noted down that's high. An audience score because there is no critic score.
Yeah.
This is 3.6 on IMDb.
Too high.
I get the feeling that the only reason this has enough reviews at all is that people were thinking about the Starving Games. The only critic review I could find was Brian Orndorff, writing for Blu-ray.com, gave the film 3 out of 10.
Blu-ray.com?
Yeah.
Never heard of Blu-ray.com.
I go to Blu-ray.com all the time because it'll tell you all the different like versions of a Blu-ray that's been released, so then you can compare. So that, you know, things like the Sailor Moon Blu-ray, which when it was originally released by Viz Media, terrible. Awful. They had done a bad upscale of it. But their newer ones, oh, they're so good. They're gorgeous.
Why did you ever doubt you had autism? Like, how did you ever doubt it? Regular user of Blu-ray.com. Fucking idiot.
I was talking to on a friend of the podcast, Gaten Souza, because we went to go see Anatomy of a Fall the other night. And then there was a point where he made a good trans joke. We went to the bathroom and I was like making a joke because we were having a good time.
He slurred you.
He loves to.
You big old beep.
We're about to go to the bathroom. And then because we're having a good time, I joked like, oh, we got to go to different ones. And he was like, well, you could have solved that. Which was pretty funny. He was like, you know, like that's your fault. Mm. You know, a joke that I normally make.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And I was like, I've given you and Abby too much power. You know too much about my people. You know too much about how we operate.
We do. But, like, you're always a good sport about it.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I'm a good sport about it. All right. Here's the first review. Dumb and funny parody movie like the good old days by backup-50362.
What's it a backup of?
I don't know.
It's like a burner IMDb review account.
I guess, yeah.
It's probably fucking Tommy Wiseau again on the down low. Wow. Black comedy.
I remember Meet the Spartans. Ugh. Scary Movie and all the other parody movies of the early 2000s. Meet the Spartans was not the... Anyway. And this feels like a good one of those from more recent years.
Meet the Spartans was 2008, wasn't it?
That's not the early 2000s.
Exactly. Yeah.
This feels like a good one of those from more recent years. Because it is. Gotta admit, the first time I saw this, I hadn't seen The Hunger Games, so I was lost. But if you're someone who's in touch with pop culture and popular movies, and you have a sense of humor, and most importantly, you know that this is a parody movie, and nothing more or less, you can have a good time.
I'd have to argue that.
I really hope parody movies don't die. Everything is cringy, quote, dark, cancer, and rehashes nowadays.
What?
taking itself way too seriously. At least parody movies like this is honest about rehashing things and does a good job at being funny and easy to watch. Just have a beer. 10 out of 10.
I guess I can agree with that last sentence. I'd love a beer right now.
I would love a beer.
Oh.
I've never wanted a beer more in my life.
I'm doing dry February, but normally I would go home and drink a ton to forget about...
No February you're doing?
Yeah, yeah. No Fatuary. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
No Fap. Fap.
Fat. Yes.
No. My brand.
I'm so fucked, Michelle.
Here's the next one, titled, I didn't eat any corn, I did. Sorry, let me do that again.
My interest fully peaked.
But the I did, it has a full stop.
Okay.
I didn't eat any corn, I did. By by Damien Nagasaka. Another Cole Swire review. By the way, I looked up this guy's account. Every single review he's left starts with another Cole Swire review.
Cole Swire?
Yeah, C-O-L-E space S-W-I-E-R.
What is that? Is that him?
I don't know.
His name is Damien Nagasaki.
I don't know. It's rare air when a sequel, let alone a parody, completely eclipses the original.
But a sequel?
I can't explain it. I just have to read it.
Okay, all right. Okay.
But... But here stands the exception to the rule. I love me a good comedy, but I haven't laughed this hard since Larry the Cable Guy movie.
What?
The subtlety of the jokes were on point, where I found some I had to explain to my roommate, who I guess is in a fucking coma, as they just went over his head.
He has been in a vegetative state for 3 years, yeah.
As they just went over his head. I thought Tenet would be the highest. Again, I looked at this guy's account. That was the last review he left.
Tenet.
This review is from like 2 weeks ago, by the way. I thought Tenet would be the highest I would ever rate a movie, but The Hungover Games has officially taken over the top spot.
I'm sorry, Tenet is in the Nolan film.
Yes.
And then this and Tenet this were the things he juggles between.
This and Tenet is his two.
What's your favorite film, Damien? Yeah, well, it's between two, actually.
Ain't that right, Kyle? And then we see Kyle and he's like completely unconscious. He's been dead for weeks. But The Hunger Games has officially taken over the top spot. I personally guarantee you will bust a gut and come back for more.
That's not a phrase. I've busted a gut.
I'm gonna bust a gut.
Dude was just thinking of fapping and then like got the word wrong.
So grab your snacks, chicken, am I right? And get a
chicken
cool...
as a snack? Just chicken?
And get a cool... I can't explain it. I'm just reading
what
it.
What kind of chicken? He didn't say like am chicken right? nuggets, am I right?
And get a cool drink. Kick your up your feet and get ready for an hour and a half of nonstop laughter. 10 out of 10.
I need to read all of his reviews. I've got a bone like to pick with this guy.
Here's the last review I have.
Okay.
Maybe I should save that one for last. It's called Better Than Expected, a fave phrase we haven't heard for a long time.
Yeah.
Could have been better.
Could have been better.
Paul, by Paul 51829. A lot of digits in these reviews.
It must be crazy being like the 5,000th Paul.
51,000th Paul.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, you got to know that wow. If you're a Paul, you're one of many.
Yeah, that's
we
true.
We are Paul, as we will learn in June 2.
Yeah,
we'll you seen out. The popcorn bucket?
The popcorn bucket?
The June 2 popcorn fuck bucket?
No, what
oh,
is that?
Oh, I gotta shit. Wait, okay. Listeners, I know we're meant to be doing reviews right now, but Abby has to listen to the June 2 popcorn fuck bucket.
See, unpopular opinion, but I watched the first Dune recently, and notably, I didn't really get into it. And you, me, and Gaydon all had a big argument about this, because I was not a fan, and you and Gaydon were definitely fans.
Here's the June 2 popcorn bucket.
It's a flashlight.
Yeah!
and an anus.
And you're meant to stick your arm in it to grab the popcorn.
It's, I mean, look, the sandworm thing in it looks like a big fucking rectum. Who thought this was a good, who signed off on this?
You're going to fist the worm to get your corn.
So many guys are going to take that home. Their mum will be like, do you want to throw it, honey? And they're like, nah. No I'm way. Just going to keep it home.
Fist the worm for your corn.
What the fuck? Who signed off on this?
Dune 2. More like Dune 2 popcorn pockets. All right, here's Paul 51829's review.
Yeah.
This movie is straight up awesome. Before you watch it, remember, this is a spoof movie. All spoof movies are supposed to be dumb. That is the fun part. You don't have to worry about plot holes, continuity, etc. Just take it at face value and have fun. That being said, this movie did keep all the above together. Love how the main characters had the names of the real actors and look like them to a degree. Especially Zach G. I laughed harder at this movie than any I have seen in a while. 10 out of 10.
Fucking hell.
I love the energy of going like, don't worry about plot holes, continuity. This movie did do those though. It didn't. Not at all.
Don't reckon it did.
So
we're at the end. Yeah, wow.
We're at the end. We made it.
Minus one.
We made it.
Minus one.
That's so the new lowest review.
Yes.
Beating my minus 0.5 or minus 0.2.
Minus one. I want this to be on the fucking bottom for what it's put me through today.
I feel bad for Emma. You're going to have to change the coding on the website yet again so that the graph has room. But yeah.
I can't let this stand. I can't. And I'm sorry, Michelle. I know you've basically been facing the brunt of my anger towards this film. It's not your fault. But also you did say, let's do this podcast together with me like 3 years ago. So kind of.
To be fair, you were the one who pitched doing IMDb's worst 250. This sin is both of ours to bear.
I'm going to go home and beat the shit out of myself.
Really, as we learned last week, the fault is Boss Ward, your child.
Boss Ward.
Boss Ward.
Yeah.
Our child.
Why? We need to go back to a time when Ward could be a first name. Like, you know, there was that famous actor called Ward Bond. What a name.
Are you suggesting that this child is actually Ward Ward?
Yes, I am.
So we have made it canonically. Boss Baby's name is Ward Ward.
Ward Ward, yes. Yeah.
I want there to be a wiki for this podcast.
The lore is intricate and endless.
Someone compile a bio.
Someone make a wiki for us. That's what we're asking of anyone that has the time.
Sweaties.
Fucking crazy.
Sendies.
Make a rating descending wiki.
That's the name for the fans. They're not on our friends anymore. They're sendies.
We'd literally give you a blowy for it.
Yeah.
Or a...
You got this. A pussy?
Pussy.
A pussy?
Puss job.
A puss job.
Yeah.
You couldn't think of one... You couldn't say, like, eating out.
Nah.
A puss job.
But yeah.
People's mothers listen to this.
Yeah, all right. What's your rating?
I think I liked you may be a gay man, but you're the best straight man we've ever met. And there's a bit.
The one joke.
And there's a bit where there's a weird, awful Leo DiCaprio in Django parody with what feels like a slightly racist version of Django as well. Django shoots him and then he goes flying, making fun of in Django the way that people fly away, which I'm like,
which was fun and camp, you know.
Yeah, it was fun and camp. I think it's cynical to make fun of a fun and enjoyable part of a movie, but I thought that was a fun way to parody it.
Yeah,
so between those, I think each of those for me make it 0.1.
Point one. Okay.
Point one. Each of those are like 0.05. So my total score is 0.1 because those were the two things I liked about this movie.
I know I say it all the time, but I still want to formally apologize for giving Taxi a zero because...
You had no idea.
I had no idea how low it was going to go. I want to repair that damage.
Think of all the movies you've given a higher score than Taxi.
Queen Latifah herself.
Jimmy Fallon deserves it, but Queen Latifah, you don't.
No, exactly.
You just had no idea how bad it was going to get.
Yeah, it got really bad. Okay, great. So we both agreed this was a piece of fucking shit.
So, if you enjoyed that, Sometimes we have joy too, and those places are on social media. You can find us on Twitter at Ready to Send Pod. You can find us on TikTok at Ready to Send, or you can email us at Ready to Send.
She's doing the cleanup.
I'm putting in the work, baby.
She is. Or you can find us on our personal accounts. Don't bother finding me, but you can find us on YouTube at Rating Descending.
Or you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Michelle.St.Clair, or you could find me on Letterboxd at M.St.Clair. Or two new ones. One is a bunch of friends of mine have released on CrowdSupply a hackable portable music player in the style of the iPod, but with many things that you could like change and hack about it and stuff, called Tangara. Mm. You can find it on CrowdSupply.com/cool/tech-zone/Tangara.
Mm.
You could also just Google Tangara. There's a bunch of articles about it and stuff. I helped make the campaign video for it and nice. Stuff, which is cool. That's, you know, that's part of how I know them. It's very, very cool. Also, I have plugged many times before, Shippers. It is finally out. The first two Woo-hoo! Episodes are out now. You can find it on YouTube at Shippers Series. You can also find them talk about it on Instagram at Shippers Series. And also, while you're at it, why not find No Ordinary Love? Same producer as Shippers, except it's her show. Shippers is her show. She produced No Ordinary Love. You can find it on YouTube at No Ordinary Love Series. Or you could find Unerased on TikTok at unerased.tv or Instagram at -18youth.
Whoa. And actually, just while we're here, you've just reminded me, I would like to plug.
Oh.
One of our guests who was our guest on Beowulf, Neil Triffitt, come out with a game that he's written called My AI Boyfriend.
Oh, cool.
And it's one of those choose your own adventure things where I played it when he advertised it because it looked really fun. And it was so fucking funny. He posted about it on his Insta, I think.
Oh, sure.
And if you just Google Neil Triffitt, My AI Boyfriend, it is a game that he's written and created. And it's so funny and silly. And that's you basically cool. You can choose the date that you go on with your AI boyfriend. Mm. And there's a lot of like Russian spies and other AI committees that are after you. It's great. It's really fun. So check it out if you have nothing to do Hell today. Yeah. And please don't forget to leave us a review wherever you get your podcasts. It really makes a difference.
Well, Abby.
Yeah.
That was finally
Woo-hoo!
The end of the Hungover Games.
Woo-hoo!
What are we watching next week?
Next week, we are watching S. Darko.
Yeah.
A Donnie Darko tale.
I really liked Donnie Darko when I was in high school.
Yeah.
But also, I really liked the director's cut, which on reflection, I know means that I was just an absolute dork.
Yeah.
And a teenager.
I'm not going to lie, I never had a big Donnie Darko face. No. I liked it. I wasn't crazy about it. So I'm interested to see what fucking bullshit sequel someone's pulled out of his ass.
I might rewatch it. I want to reappraise it.
Yeah. Yeah, let's do that.
Yeah, let's do that.
Well, catch us next week, and I hope I'm in a better mood. But I can't guarantee it.
They get
worse.
Because the
list is just getting worse.
They just get worse every week.
Woohoo!
Yow!
That last year of Rating Descending was really aggressive.
I'm gone.
See you later.